Welcome to The Fountain, where it's our desire to connect with God, to grow in Jesus, and to engage the world in His name. As you listen to this message, we pray that you allow God to speak to your heart, and that His words might motivate you to life change. Come to The Fountain, a place where you belong.
Good morning. While the offering baskets are being passed on, I just want to make a comment that I am so glad and excited that we had VBS this past week. And I am so glad and excited that it's over. It is always a hopping place around any church, really, that does vacation Bible schools. And you see them all over. If you're driving, you'll see all kinds of churches having their vacation Bible school signs out. But I'm telling you, I look at them and say, when I'm done, I say, yeah, you got it coming. Because it is a long week. It starts early, and even though the kids go home at noon, it doesn't stop there. There's stuff to prepare for the next day, and there's so many people that have played a part in making it happen. And a lot of those people have traveled down with the kids down to have their celebration Sunday down there for Vacation Bible School. But I just want to give you a few statistics. And because Vacation Bible School, or those programs like that, there's a purpose and there's an impact that's expected. And we can rejoice in those things as God is working. But just let me give you a few statistics. We had this year, we had 100 kids registered for Vacation Bible School here at the Fountain. And it was amazing to see them come through here. We had 38 student volunteers. If you're a student and you worked Vacation Bible School, would you stand up right now? If you're a teenager and you worked Vacation Bible School, stand up. Look at this is just a fraction of the kids that helped out at Vacation Bible School. And we are so, I'm just so proud of our teenagers that they take the time out of their summer vacation schedule and come over here and work that hard. Because it is hard work. If you've never been a part of Vacation Bible School or been a part of preparing it or working it, it is a ton of work. I mean, it's like having to babysit 100 kids in some respects and not having enough to do it. But, of course, we don't just babysit. There's a purpose behind all this. And we had 20, now this is great. We had 38 student volunteers, and we had 22 adult volunteers. And if you were here volunteering for Vacation Bible School as an adult, and I know some of them went down there, stand up where you are. If you're an adult and you work Vacation Bible School, this is just a few of those that helped out. Thank you so much. There was dancing, as you saw. There were songs. There was praying. There were crafts for the kids to participate in. There was snacks, because in church, every good event has to have food, right? So snacks. We had Bible lessons. We had missions. We had recreation. 5 days from 9 to noon of celebration of God and of Jesus coming into the hearts of these little kids. And I have to say, it's not just the hearts of these little kids, because God does something to us adults and us teenagers too when we see this taking place. When we see these kids grasping this message about Jesus in their lives. I don't know about you, but it does something in my heart when I see a kid get it. Because I was once one of those kids. And when I got it, people celebrated with me, and that's what we want to do. We want to celebrate with this message that's being put in these children. Celebration of children and celebration of God and celebration of Jesus. And with any kind of Vacation Bible School or thing, there's always a mission and there's an offering to go with. Our mission this year, and we encourage the kids to be disciplined and obedient and giving to a mission. The mission that was chosen this year was the school in Peru that former Trinity supported and started. But we decided that our goal was $500, and we wanted that money to go towards helping those kids have school supplies for this upcoming school year. And it was great. The last day, you know, that they had their treasure box, and Lindsay came up and say, "Y'all, I just need to tell you that we didn't make $500." And she did it in a sad way. She said, "We made $527. And the kids just scream and they praise God, because, you know, kids love those goals. You don't like goals like that, do you? Kids love those goals. So some of the pictures that you saw was the special thing they got to do was they got to put all the teen volunteers in the middle and throw water balloons at them. So that was kind of fun for everybody, and they loved getting them wet. B. Poff Austin, one of our worship leaders, his wife directed Vacation Bible School, but not just her, along with all of these volunteers, spent time and hours and effort before, months before that it took place, getting it ready, the decorating, the preparing the lessons, the preparing the crafts, the preparing the rooms, the schedule of who's going to be in what group, the signing. There's so much. If you've done VBS, you know how much work goes into it. But why VBS? Why do anything in the summer? It's time to take it easy, right? Why put forth that much effort? Why put forth that much work? Why put so much money into something that's going to last five mornings on 5 days and then it's done? Why do that? The primary purpose is to hopefully connect with families that are unchurched and plant God's word, the seed of salvation, so the Holy Spirit can work. There are kids that come to Vacation Bible School that know Jesus. But the majority of the kids that come to Vacation Bible School, they know who Jesus is, but they don't know Jesus. You see, we as adults know Jesus, and we can understand the difference of knowing who Jesus is and really knowing him, is having a relationship with him. And that's really the purpose of Vacation Bible School, is to present Jesus in a way that every day these kids have a little seed planted in their heart. And then when that seed's planted, God does the watering. God, the Holy Spirit does the work after that, but we got to be obedient in how we get that into those children's heart. It's all about outreach. And you know the fountain, that's one of the primary things why we became the church we are, is so we can do outreach and be serious about it. And I don't know if you're still on board with it or not. I don't know if you say, yeah, every church says that. We'll see what happens. But we're serious about it. If we're not going to be about outreach, then we don't need to be about being this church. Because we all have to take responsibility for reaching out, creating, if you will, environments, relationships that we have the opportunity to share the gospel, to reach out to somebody, whether it be through an act of kindness, a provision that somebody needs. It's an avenue, it's a vehicle to have a conversation about Jesus, about finding out if they just know who Jesus is or do they really know Jesus as their Lord and Savior. That's really why we are the church, church. It's not to huddle here. It's to get out and help people find Jesus. And that's really what VBS is about. Another statistic from Vacation Bible School, and this kind of goes proves the direction that we want to go as a church, is that 25% of the kids at VBS, of the 100, were fountain kids. 25% of them. But 75% of them were community kids. And that's a great statistic to celebrate. Now, some of the community kids, as we found out, were kids that go to other churches, which is great. We're not here to steal sheep. We're here to provide an opportunity to tell Jesus. But there is a percentage of those 75%, and I've met some of them, and some of the others met some of them, that don't know Jesus at all, that don't go to church at all, that have never been to church. It's like you ask, it's like, well, why did you come to VBS? I don't know, my mom just said that she wanted me to be here. It's like, okay, some parents use it as babysitting. Ah, the church is doing 3 hours a day of Vacation Bible School. Woo, I get a break. So I'm going to drop my kid off of Vacation Bible School. Okay, great. That's you get the reward, you get the gain, but we do too, because you don't know what's about to happen. We're going to plant a seed of Jesus in your child's heart, and they're going to bring it home. So Jesus is going to be in your home, and then we're going to let the Holy Spirit do what the Holy Spirit does, right? That's right. The motto for Vacation Bible School this year was searching the visible, what you and I can see. We're used to that, right? We open our eyes and we see so many things. But in that, discovering the invisible. And of course, we relate that to God, seeing God in the things around us. The scripture verse that covered Vacation Bible School was out of Colossians 1, 15 and 16. And it says this: the Son is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For in him all things were created, things in the heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities. All things have been created through him and for him. And sometimes we get a skewed view of the world. And that's how we make our choices sometimes, who we're going to reach out to for the gospel and who we're not going to reach out to. But you see, all were created. Everybody in the world was created for Jesus. Now they have a choice to make. Do I want Jesus? You see, God, it's that same concept that God loves everybody. He loves those who don't believe in Him, those who deny His name, and those who have confessed His name. His love isn't any less for any of them. But see, He leaves it up to us to choose Him or not. He chooses us, but He leaves it up to us to choose Him. And our mission, our commission, is out of Matthew 28, where He says, go and make disciples. Go, it's your responsibility. That wasn't just to the disciples of that day. That wasn't just to those who were ordained apostles. That commission was placed on every believer. To go, to create an opportunity, to create a relationship, to create an environment so that you can share the love of Jesus, whether through an act of kindness, whether through a ministry, whether through a program, whether through building a relationship with a person, create an environment that you have the platform to share Jesus. You may not like them, but God's called you to go to them and build a platform is to bridge the gap. And share Jesus. So the goal for VBS was to connect kids with Christ, teach them about God, and how God gave Jesus power over all creation. All of creation was created through Him, by Him, and for Him. Through His life and His death and His resurrection, Jesus fulfilled God's plan of redemption that God had planned from the beginning of time. This is the goal of to place these seeds, these words, these announcements, these revelations into the hearts of these little children. Now, will they remember all of it? Nah. But they'll remember parts of it. And then when stuff happens in their family or there's and a lot of times you know that this is the way it is when there's heartache or when there's tragedy, this is what services. The Holy Spirit begins His work. And the kids remember, you know what? I remember something from VBS. And man, that just, for me, That's the reason we do it. The thread that connected the scripture in Colossians to what the kids learned every day was about relationship. Do you know anything about that? Relationship. After all, the reason we're created was relationship with God and the relationship with each other. Now, here's what they learned. Just a quick preview of what they learned every day. And it was all about relationship. One is how day one was about how the relationship begins or began. In the beginning, they used the Genesis. In the beginning, there was nothing, only God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. God created the world and everything in it, including man. God made man to enjoy relationships with one another and with Him. You see, it goes back to those two greatest commandments, loving God and loving people. Those relationships. Day two was about the relationship got broken. You have any experience with that, people? You have any broken relationships in your life? Were you ever an instigator? Or the reason that relationship got broken? Or was somebody else and now you don't have that relationship anymore? God knows all about that. The relationship broken. Satan tempted Eve to eat fruit from the forbidden tree. Eve ate and offered to Adam. Adam also ate. Sin entered the world. Every person who has ever lived has chosen to disobey God in some way except for one. Who is it? Oh, that was not loud. You know Jesus. You don't just know Him. You know Him. So who was that?
Jesus.
That's right. Then day three went to the relationship promise, or the restored promise, the restoration promise. I'm sorry, I'm reading it wrong. Before sin entered the world, God had a plan to fix everything that sin had messed up. In Isaiah, God promised to send the Messiah. When the time was right, God sent Jesus to pay the penalty for sin and the reason that the relationship could be restored. Day four, the relationship restored. Jesus literally, called Emmanuel, became God with us. The Word became flesh and made His dwelling among us. When Jesus was 33, He was put on trial, convicted of sin that He did not commit, and hung on the cross to die. When Jesus died, darkness covered the land and the veil of the temple was rent or torn in two. Jesus told the disciples to wait for God to send the Holy Spirit so that God would always be with us to help, to guide, to convict, to remind, to teach. And he did what he said he would do. And then day five, the relationship continues. There's a choice to be made. What are you going to do now? It's been presented. You know what to do. You got a choice. And God doesn't make us do anything, does he? Some days after God raised Jesus from the dead, he met the disciples at the Sea of Galilee. Jesus prepared breakfast for the disciples. He restored Peter's relationship and instructed Peter to care for his sheep. And Jesus told the disciples to wait for God to send the Holy Spirit of God. So they did. And that relationship continues to this day. This day. So my favorite part of VBS was this. It's Thursday. Thursday is my favorite day of Vacation Bible School. You'd think it'd be Friday. Yay, it's going to be over here in a couple hours. But it's Thursday. Other than being a gopher at VBS now, which I am so glad to be. I used to lead the group that, when I was younger, you lead the group that did the dancing. And I'm so glad I don't have to do that anymore. But now I'm kind of a gopher. I'm the odds and ends, just whatever you need. But I do have a specific responsibility I had this year on Thursday. And it's my favorite day. I'm rewarded when Thursday comes around because the teaching always guides the kids to who Jesus is and why he came and how they need him for eternal life. But before Thursday gets there, they get the opportunity to respond, to fill out a card that says, I want to know how to become a Christian, or I want to know what baptism is about, or the other option is that I am a Christian and I have been baptized. And those kids who want to know more are the ones I get to meet with on Thursday. And their card, they fill out. I got to meet with 37 kids this past Thursday and talk with them about the plan of salvation. Using God's word and letting them ask questions. Out of the 37, I asked them who thinks they are ready to take the next step. And out of the 37, 17 raised their hand and said they're ready to have a discussion or take that next step. Whatever that next step is, maybe they already asked Jesus to come live with them, but they haven't been obedient in that step of baptism. Or maybe they haven't even looked at Jesus in that way before. And I'm losing my light. The light is going out. Does that mean I've got to leave? Okay, they're done. They're done listening to me back there. But here's what I did with those 17. That Thursday afternoon, I wrote yes on all those kids' cards that said that they think that they're ready for the next step. I emailed all their parents. Some of those kids go to other churches. Some of those kids don't go to church anywhere. And some of those kids come here. So I emailed them all. And I just encouraged the parents that your child, we met today, and they are interested. And they have questions about taking the next step in their relationship with Jesus. And for those at other churches, I said, I encourage you to contact your pastor and meet with them and start talking about that. I encourage parents that don't have a church home that the pastors here at the Fountain, we'd be more than happy to meet with you and talk to you a little more about it. And then even some, I actually got to set some appointments, and I talked to four different kids yesterday. Well, one on Friday and then three yesterday. And I need to let you know, I'll remind you, but next week, we've got kids who are going to take that next step. And this baptistry is going to be full of water, and it'll be heated. Of course, the kids don't care. I don't think it's us adults that care. And we've got some kids who are going to take the next step in their walk with Jesus Christ. And that is what VBS is about. Paul Harvey told about a three-year-old boy who went to the grocery store with his mother. You ever take your kids to the grocery store? Before they enter the grocery store, she said to him, now, you're not going to get any chocolate chip cookies, so don't even ask. Anybody ever said something like that? Don't even ask. We're not going to get them. She put him in the car, and he sat in the little child's seat while she wheeled down the aisles. He was doing just fine until they came to the cookie section.
He saw the chocolate chip cookies and he stood up in his seat and said, "Mom, can I have some chocolate chip cookies?" She said, and you probably said, "I told you not to ask. You're not going to get any at all." So he sat back down and they continued down the aisles. But in their search for certain items, they ended up back in the cookie aisle. "Mom, can I please have some chocolate chip cookies?" She said, "I told you that you can't have any. Now sit down and be quiet." Finally, as they approached the checkout, the little boy sensed that this may be his last chance. So just before they got to the line, he stood up on the seat of the cart and he shouted in his loudest voice. He said, "In the name of Jesus, may I have some chocolate chip cookies?" And everybody around just laughed. Some even applauded. And according to Paul Harvey, due to the generosity of other shoppers, that little boy and his mother left with 23 boxes of chocolate chip cookies. See what happens when you pray in the name of Jesus? For many of us, to use the name of Jesus is the sweetest and the most powerful name that we can use. And Scripture teaches us that, right? I mean, that's why we pray in the name of Jesus, right? He is our high priest. He has the power to go before us, and he proved it, right? To speak on our behalf, our go-between. But for others, Jesus is either one they respect or one they reject as even having existed. The late Christopher Hitchens wrote a book provocatively titled, "God Is Not Great." One of the main responses to the book was entitled, "What's So Great About Christianity?" It seems that it was the wrong title and the wrong answer. Christianity is not great, but Christ is. Far too often we are so busy defending Christianity, like God needs defending, or we're so busy defending the church or the actions and words of some self-professing Christians that we forget about Christ in this. And a lot of times in our efforts to defend God, we get a little self-righteous ourselves and we forget about Christ and what he actually did. And if we think about the cross even, and Susan prayed it in our prayer as we were gathering up, is that he went to the cross and he didn't say a bad word about anybody. He just prayed to God, "Forgive them, God, for they don't know what they're doing." He could have come down off the cross. All he had to do was say the word and 10,000 angels would have come to his rescue. But he didn't. He could have stood before Pilate and said, "Look, you have no control over me. Here's what I'm going to do. Like the genie with Aladdin, here's what's going to happen." But he didn't do that. He could have stopped the whipping of, with the cat of nine tails. He could have walked away from that. But he didn't. He could have said to the woman who was caught in adultery, "Look, yes, you're a sinner and you're going to hell because of what you did." But he turned it on us and said, "Listen, we all got sin. We all got junk. So you who don't have any junk, you throw the first stone." And then he said, "No one's condemned you, neither do I. But go and try not to sin no more. It's not good for you. It's not good for our relationship." He didn't condemn her. He said, "I'm going to give you, you got a chance. You got a chance." Two things from today's message I want you to know. One is, when was the last time you built a relationship with an unbeliever or someone who's unchurched, and sometimes they're the same, and ask them, "Do you know how you can be saved? Do you know who Jesus is? Do you want to know what your next step should be?" Or the number two thing I think I want you to take home today, not I think I do want you, but I want you to think about this. Do you know how you can have joy all the time? This world can get us down easy. But we have to let it get us down, right? That's another foothold for the devil. It's like if you know that when you turn the TV on and you hear all this stuff, why do you keep turning the TV on? Why do you keep letting the TV steal your joy? Why do you keep letting things around you take away the joy that has been deposited in your soul? If you're a believer, you're saved. Your home is not here, it's in heaven. This is just a passing place. And of course, unfortunately, it's hard sometimes, and it's troublesome, and it's trial, and there's disease, and there's hurt, and there's pain. Yes. But we identify with Jesus when we walk this earth. We identify in his suffering, and one day we will identify with eternity where he is. Amen? I think we also forget sometimes to enjoy him, to celebrate him in our lives outside of our time and corporately. I mean, we have a good time when we come in here. Sunday's my favorite part of the day. It's hard Monday through Saturday. I don't like Monday through Saturday, but I love Sunday. I love when we come together and we enjoy each other. And I use Sunday as a time to get built up by the body because I know what's coming in the week ahead. That there's a battle, and some the battle hurts, and there'll be wounded people, and I'll even get wounded. But then I come back here, and it's the time to be encouraged and build back up and heal the wounds and say, look, we can do it. We're in this together. Last week, I got to visit a friend in the hospital, Ed. And I know him through a couple other good friends. It's the father of the lady that I know real well, but I visited him a number of times. And Ed is in the last days of his life, possibly. He was in the hospital this last week, but as he was coming out, it was time for him to go into hospice care. And his wife is already in hospice care in the nursing home. She's got bad Alzheimer's and probably doesn't know anybody anymore. But and we've had conversations about that as we go. But Ed always has an opportunity and a moment when we meet to kind of bellyache. You ever done that? You ever go and just spew like, I can't believe, blah, 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 blah. Oh, those people over there, I can't believe that, blah, 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 blah. And for this time, it was kind of like, I felt with him, but I knew that God had a purpose for me there to speak in Ed because, I'm pretty honest with Ed. I don't, pull any punches. Some people might say, how could you tell him that? Well, when you build a relationship with somebody, you know what it's time to say something or a time, what they can take and what they can't take. You earn the right almost to do that when you build a relationship. Well, Ed started bellyaching about the nurses. All they used me for is a pincushion. His arms were black and blue. They blew out a vein last night. They can't find a vein. While I was talking to him, another nurse came in. They tried to find a vein. Couldn't find a vein, so they got to figure out something else because his arms, his skin is so thin. And his veins are so little that they just can't get an IV or take blood even. And so he had an opportunity to complain. So I just kind of let him. And I just kind of take it a little bit. But then I'll have an opportunity to interject. And I said, well, Beth told me that your son Gary came to see you yesterday. And he said, and then he got a smile on his face. And he said, yeah, because his son lives in Virginia. And he was here at a conference, like at the airport. And he got to come and spend. He skipped out on a session to come see his dad for about 4 hours. And Beth, I said, well, was Beth here? He said, yeah, I said, you guys probably had a great conversation. He said, actually, I didn't say very much. But I did hear them. I listened to them talk and I watched them. And he had a big old smile on his face. It brought him joy to see his kids together and reminiscing and talking. And that was my cue. And I said, Ed, it's easy to complain about this life, about what you're going through. It's not your fault, but it's what the world has put on you, right? But, buddy, you got joy. I saw it in your eyes and in your smile when you talked about your son and your daughter. I said, buddy, you don't know how much time you have left. You're going into hospice when you get out of here. Who knows how long that will last when the Lord calls you home? But you have an opportunity to be filled with joy. to look up, to not let those things that are painful ruin your joy while you're here, because you still got purpose, bud. You got purpose in the joy that you share with these nurses instead of belly aching about them. You can share the joy and love of Jesus through your pain. And they'll know a little bit about what Jesus went through when you can react that way. And it's hard, absolutely. But why not focus on the joy of what you have and the blessings that you've had in this world instead of, you know, complaining and belly aching? And I know it hurts, buddy. I mean, I haven't walked your shoes, but I can only imagine being poked like that and having arms that look like your arms look like right now. But you have an incredible opportunity in the condition that you're in to show Jesus and joy to these people. And he seems to take it very well. He could ask me to leave, but he never does. So God's given me a blessing and a platform and an opportunity to minister to Ed. And I take it. You know, and God gives you the same opportunities in for different reasons. But I wonder if you take them. See, the Holy Spirit is speaking. God is working. He's always working. But are we watching and are we listening? And are we taking the opportunities that he gives us? It's not about your giftedness. It's not even about your comfort level. It's about your obedience, church. And that's what honors God. And that's where God pours his favor. And that's when God pours out the blessings. It's when we walk in obedience. And it's hard. It is. In Psalm 27, then my head will be exalted above the enemies who surround me. At his sacred tent I will sacrifice with shouts of joy. I will sing and make music to the Lord. In spite of my suffering, in spite of my body being broken, in spite that his death is right around the corner, I will still sacrifice with shouts of joy, and I will sing and make music to the Lord. In spite of what I'm going through, I will rejoice. I will give to the Lord what I owe the Lord, a sacrifice of praise. Last week, a few of us went to Debbie and Marcy's mom died, and they're members of the Fountain here. And they're sisters here at the Fountain, which is kind of cool. Well, we got some other sisters at the Fountain too. But they buried their mom last week. And while they miss her, yet in their grief, and this ministered to me and I just loved it so much, they stood in front of the family and friends and they shared some incredible memories, some incredible character traits about their mom, and even through some of their tears, I saw great joy as they spoke about her. In our deepest, darkest hours of grief sometimes, God has deposited in us a reason to be joyful. And for letting that come out is also a way to draw others to him. Like they say, wow, I can't believe you just went through that. How can you have that much joy? Whoa, opportunity. God has just presented you with a place where he's working and for you to mention his name and say, I'll tell you why. Yes, I'm hurting, and yes, it will hurt for a while, and I am sad, but I've got the joy of Jesus because he saved me, and I know where my mom's going. So that's great. I'll miss her. There'll be a void. But you know what? I'd rather be a void here than a void in heaven someday because she didn't confess the Lord. You can say that about people in your life that you come in contact with. Well, they possibly don't know the Lord. Do I want there to be a void in heaven because I wasn't obedient in the opportunity that God gave me, in the joy that I have? John 16:22. So with you, now is your time of grief. But I will see you again and you will rejoice and no one will take away your joy. If anybody takes your joy away, it's because you let them. It's because you let them. I want to read our scripture one more time out of Colossians. The Son is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For in him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible. Whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things have been created through him and for him. Searching the visible. Every day we live by sight, looking for proof. We all do it. I'll believe it when I see it. Much of the time is spent finding confirmation for what we believe by what we see, hear, and touch, and smell. We live that way so much, so often, it's all we know sometimes. Because that's what our lives are built up to be. But discovering the invisible in the visible is what our goal is in Christianity. It's taking that joy and saying, God is alive, I believe it, and I'm going to live it, so I'm going to look up. I am going to pick up my head. I am going to get rid of my cell phone for a little while. I'm going to pull my head up from my iPad. I'm going to stop looking at my computer screen. I'm going to turn my head away from the TV. I'm going to look up from my desk and the piles of paperwork. And I am going to discover the invisible in the visible around me. God is working. All around you and me, there is never a time where he is not working, because his desire is that all mankind would call upon his name. And he's never taken a break from that. So why should we take a break from looking for the opportunities to deposit the word of God in somebody's life? Signs of joy. One of my favorite players, and I'm getting close to here. I don't have too much to say left here, so we're almost done. I'm giving the kids time to have their party, right? So we need to spend a little more time. One of my favorite players, and I've got a number of them. I'm kind of a, except for Ohio State, which is my team. It's not my team. It's a team I grew up loving. But one, I love players in games. I don't necessarily like teams per se. But it happens to be Zeke Elliott played for OSU. One of my favorite things, is, you know, and I'm not all about these football players like doing all these dances and everything that they do at the end of their touchdown. But Zeke did something that I really like. When he would make a touchdown, he would share the joy inside of him. And he would do that, this kind of thing like that. He would high step it and do this kind of thing like this. You know, what if we, when we came to find a, and you're going to have the opportunity next week too. You're going to have the opportunity next week to rejoice and to celebrate with some people who are celebrating themselves, because that's what we're called to do. To celebrate, it's like high step. Yes, I'm excited about that. That's happened. That's awesome. I just made a touchdown. They just made a touchdown. They just know the Lord. And that's exciting. And then I don't know if you've seen, you probably have, especially in these NBA finals that are going on. Matter of fact, who's a Cavs? Who's for the Cavs? Anybody for the Cavs? Oh, I'm so sorry. Who's for the Warriors? Who doesn't care? There you go. That's the reality of it right there. Come on. Really, in the grand scheme of things, it really doesn't matter, honestly. But for this point and this purpose, you see these guys that make these hard shots that go against all odds, and they're the all-stars, and they make shots. It's like Kyrie Irving is so amazing. I mean, nobody can stop it. He makes shots like I don't know where that came from. And then when they make it and it goes in, they do this. I got to take the mic. They go, ah! They just let it out, a cry of joy, a shout of exclamation, because they just did an impossible thing. They just did an incredible thing. They just witnessed an incredible thing, and the crowd follows suit, and the players jump up from the bench, and they go, oh, my goodness, did you see what just happened right there? I can't believe he did that, and the crowd is going crazy. They're joining him in a celebration of something that they liked. And that's so, in the grand scheme of things, insignificant to what we have an opportunity to have joy about. When believers are used to do what's impossible with the man, when believers are used to do what's impossible with man, but has been made possible with God, where are the cries and the shouts of joy? Psalm 47 says this, and these scriptures aren't up there. Clap your hands, all you nations. Shout to God with cries of joy. It's a command in the Bible to do it. Put it out there. Cheer. It's an amazing opportunity to share the joy in your heart. Hebrews 12:2 says, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith, for the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. For the joy set before him, he looked ahead. The cross wasn't going to do anything to him. The cross couldn't take him. The joy set before him is the reason that he did what he did. There is joy in our life. When are you going to exercise it? If you've trusted Jesus as your Savior, the joy is ahead of you. Heaven is your home. This is just what we have to endure right now. But for the joy set before each and every one of us, we can endure because we know where our home is. How many are we going to take with us? And because of that, when we come together, there's an opportunity to be sad about it and to be introspective about it, which is not wrong. But if we don't sit here, when we come to a time where we take the emblems, the blood and the bread, the representations of Christ's body and blood, it's a celebration. It's what we celebrate together because of what he did. We can be who he's called us to be. We couldn't do it without him. That's a celebration. Yes, Lord, I'm sorry you had to, but yes, Lord, I'm so glad that you did. So glad that you did. Because you opened up the way for me to get to what God's been trying to get us to do since he created. Is that relationship. Thank you, Jesus, for doing that for me. We're going to go into a time of communion right now. And I just want you to think about those words. When you take it today, just thank him. Just enjoy him and be grateful. Lord, thank you for what you did for me. Because it's my eternity now because of you. And that's what I want you to think about today. I'm going to have a word of prayer. And then when you're ready, Susan's going to play. And then I'll come back and I'll close the service with a couple things. But just take some time and celebrate the Lord today. Father, God, we love you so much. I don't deserve it, but you did it anyway. You didn't condemn me, Lord. You provided a way of escape. And I thank you for that. And I thank you, Holy Spirit, for reminding me anytime I start looking inwardly and I start complaining, I start belly aching, and you remind me that there's a joy set before me and I can't endure anything because I have you with me. Thank you. So as we take this communion, we pray that we honor you in our thoughts and our ways. We pray that it brings glory to you and honors you. So bless it now to your glory and to our remembrance. In Jesus' name, amen.